some people there are who have never read the Bible for themselves, some who think that they know what it says, and they're very quick to tell me what the Bible says, but yet when I get close up to them, I find that what they're saying is just simply what they've heard somebody else say. It's not because they've read the Bible themselves at all. Some people, of course, have never had the opportunity. So this afternoon I make available to you that opportunity, offering to you, it's an extract from the Bible entitled Mark's Gospel. It's offered to you free of charge, of course, and without any obligation to you. An opportunity to read and see. Thank you. To see for yourself, first-hand knowledge, to give you an overview, summary, really, of what the entire Bible is about. Might surprise you in doing so that it's not what you've been led to believe, not what you've perhaps always thought. It's not surprisingly about just another religion, it's about a person. And that person, of course, is Jesus, the Son of God, the loveliest person that ever walked the face of this earth. He never did anyone any harm, only good. He went about, the Bible tells us, doing good, healing the sick, delivering people from evil, and, imparting forgiveness, life, eternal life to men and women, giving them hope and joy and peace. Religion never did that for anyone. So, get it right, please. It's about a person of Jesus, who came to die for sinful men and women, to impart God's grace to them. Grace, of course, being that which we least deserve. Some people, they want their rights. A lot of talk about rights these days. Human rights. The only human right that is a reality is hell. That's what, that's our rightful desert of every human being. We have no other right besides that. That God gives us otherwise is by His grace, His undeserved favor. And that comes to a person, a body, not through religion, but through a person, through God's Son Jesus, who came into the world to save, to rescue us from that sinful state and condition. And of course, it's final consequences, that we might escape that which is our just deserts. So human rights, well, some people, they say, I want justice. Well, that's the last thing that we want from God. You might want it from a human court. You might want it from your neighbors, but not from God. Because if we got justice, well, there would be no salvation. There would be no grace. There would be no rescue. But rescue, salvation, redemption, forgiveness is a reality through God's Son, because He came and because He lived and died and rose again from the dead. That grace is a possibility for you here this afternoon, for the very worst of you and the best of you. Care not what you've done, where you've been. I was reading in the Bible just the other day, of a wicked king in Israel back in the Old Testament of the Bible, I declare I never read about such a wicked man in all my life. But you know, towards the end of his days, he realized his wickedness, and he humbled himself, and he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord forgave him and showed mercy to him. So I don't suppose, so maybe I'm wrong, but I don't suppose there's anybody that wicked under the sound of my voice here this afternoon. So if somebody like that can be forgiven, somebody like that can come to know the grace of God, then I'm sure that you can, just as I have. I'm here as a minister of the gospel, just simply to testify of the things that I know, the things that I've come to experience myself, the grace of God. You know, it's a most wonderful thing to know that in spite of your past and mine, believe me, wasn't rosy at all. 34 years ago was when I was saved, converted, when Jesus came to me, loved me and forgave me. But I wasn't a good man by anybody's judgment. You know, we talk about people being good. He's a good man. She's a good woman. Is there any such thing as that? You know, Jesus says, only God is good. I don't think any of us can claim to be good. I mean, if your life was to be portrayed, every detail of it, every thought, every word that you've spoken, every action, if it was all to be portrayed before the world on a giant video screen, I think we would all of us run and hide, bury ourselves in some unknown place, because we've all got skeletons in the cupboard, all got things that we wish we hadn't done or said or thought. You know, people, His charge against us is that there's none good, none righteous before God. You see, there is no such thing as a good person. I've had people come to me and say to me, you're a good man. I say to them, you don't know that. If you knew my heart, you wouldn't say that. No, people, there's none of us good. There's none of us deserves the grace of God. That's what it is. Undeserved favor from God through Jesus, through His Son, who came into the world for that purpose and reason, to impart the grace of God to us. So, here's the other thing. It's free, totally, absolutely free, people. You know, you got a lot of adverts today on your television screen, the marketplace here, shops and stores, telling you that stuff's free, but when you get into it, you find it isn't free at all. There is nothing free in the marketplace, but there is with God, His grace. How you doing, my friend? Are you sober today? So you see, people, it's free, and it's the only thing that is free. You know, we're all in comfort, we're all, you know, in bondage to something, you know, to some kind of addiction. You know, it's awful sad to see these people with all these drug problems and alcohol and, you know, my friend here, you know, and it's just, they labor, they try to get free of them, and they can't for the life of them. You know why that is? Well, the Bible tells us. You see, this is the crucial thing, people, about the Bible and reading it. It gives you the right diagnosis, you know? It's no good you go to the doctor with cancer and I'm telling you, here's a plaster, stick this on your body and you'll get well. you don't find it well, you won't. You need surgery. You might need deep surgery. You know? And people, you need the right diagnosis. You need a doctor who's going to tell you the truth. But of course, in the Bible, Jesus is the one who tells us the truth. In my heart, we might find it painful that we're not as sweet and kind and nice and good as we thought we were. That we're actually, inside of us, in our hearts, we're full of all kinds of poison. But Jesus, you see, like the good doctor, he tells us the truth about our state and condition so that he can make us better, so that he can heal us. Because he is the great healer. He's the physician. I am the Lord. I am the one who heals you. He tells us in the Bible. He came to heal us of our sin, sickness. So you see, people, the Bible goes right to the heart of the matter because the heart is the problem. You make the heart good, and you make the man good. You make the person good. You cure the heart, and you cure the man. You see, the problem is, Jesus said, that all the bad stuff that you see in the world, whether it's starvation, whether it's war, child abuse, you name it, whatever it is, it all comes out of the heart of man. God didn't create it. It didn't fall out the sky. It didn't come up out the earth. It doesn't come on the wind. Where does it come from? Last century, we came through two Second World Wars. And what did we say after each one of them? It must never happen again. And what happens? We do it over and over again. We just never learn. We keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. Why? Well, you see, people, all the politics, the best politics in the world, won't change the world, society, a human being. How you doing, my friend? Nice to see you. People, it's the heart, you see, out of the heart, Jesus says, comes forth evil thoughts. And those evil thoughts turn into evil actions. So you see, it's no good cleaning the outside of the cup, Jesus says. That's what the holy men of Israel did, the Pharisees. You know, they washed the outside. They dressed up in fine clothes, clerical garments, long frocks, beads, and all the rest of it, incense. And everybody thought that they were holy men. But inside, Jesus said, you're like dead men's bones. You're full of poison. But people, that's us all in our hearts. You think of some of the things that you condemn other people for. Think of some of the, you know, you read something in the newspaper and somebody's done the most terrible thing. What about this kid in the paper today who stabbed that lovely teacher? Stabbed her to death? You know, you look at that kid, he was drug crazed out of his mind, I guess, I don't know. But you look at that and you say, he ought to be hung, he ought to be locked up forever. You know, people, we condemn other people for things that we are guilty of in our own hearts. You ever thought of murdering anybody? You ever hated anyone? Well, Jesus says that hatred of your fellow man is the beginning of murder. That's the seed of murder. You only murder somebody because you hate them. So you see, people, we've all got the seeds of it inside of us. You ever lusted after another woman, another man? Well, Jesus says, you've already committed adultery in your heart. People, there's not one of us, myself included, who isn't guilty before God. Make all the claims that you like. Some people tell me, I'm not a sinner, you know. You know, don't call me a sinner because I'm not a sinner. And, you know, people, that is ridiculous. But you know, there's only one way you'll ever prove you're not a sinner. You know how? By not dying. That's the only way you'll ever prove that you're not a sinner, by not dying. Why? Because sin, you see, death rather, is the reward of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, people, death is the payment for sin. It's the greatest proof of sin in your world. That's why all men die. Just as the Bible says, it's appointed for man once to die. After this then comes the judgment. It's appointed of God, divinely appointed. You can't escape it. Why? Because you're a sinner, just like me, and just like everybody else. But the problem is, of course, is the consequence. You know, you can go into denial, but that never helped anybody. Some people, you know, with the drink problem, they go into denial. Some people, the drug problem, they say, no problem. I haven't got a problem. It's not an issue, you know. And you know them. You know that they're denying themselves and what they are. And you can't do a blind thing to help them, because they're in denial. As you carry on in denial with regard to your sin, well, not even God can help you. So at the beginning, you see, the first step is to own up, is to acknowledge, is to confess our sins. In the Bible, you can read for yourself and see, you know, God there, He says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you say that you're not a sinner, you call God a liar, and there's no truth in you. So you see, people, all you do is keep yourself in the darkness, keep yourself from the sweet forgiveness and the love of Jesus. You know, love. Let's talk about love today. Let's talk about love for a minute. What is love? The Bible says God is love. And a person who has been born of God is a person who is like God, who loves like God does. Well, where do you see that love, people? Where does it become visible? Where does it become tangible? The Bible says, at the cross where Jesus died for the ungodly, He died for God's enemy to rescue them, to save them from that ungodliness, from that hostility towards God. That's love, people. Greater love has no man than this, that He laid down His life for His friend. Jesus laid down His life for God's enemy. So great is the love of God.
Can I ask you a question, please?
Yes, sir, yeah.
You believe in God, don't you?
I do, yes, sir.
Well, who made Him?
He wasn't made, He's eternal. Always was, never wasn't, always will be.
Yes,
eternal.
Then again, somebody must have made God, and somebody must have made them. Who made God?
No, not them. So you see, people, love. You know, Steve, I know people talk about love. That stuff that you see, Hollywood, you know, your television, Emmerdale Farm, Coronation Street, talking about love. That's not love. That's L-U-S-T. The world is full of lust. It's more than just emotion, you know. Some people are very emotional. You know, you ladies, you tend towards that, like, you know, more than I suppose men do, most anyway. You know, that love is more than emotion, it's more than just a nice, good feeling. Love, people, is an act of the will. And God revealed His love in acting willfully in giving His Son into the world to be crucified for the world. To save the world, to save even you from your sin. So you see, people, love is action. It's actually doing, it's giving. Love gives. And some people say, you know, Timmy, what God ever do for me? You know, God never did nothing for me, but I'm telling you wrong. You're blind to the truth of the reality. God did his very best, sending his Son into the world, that through him that you might be saved from a terrible, from awful consequences in eternity. Jesus died for sinners, just as the Bible said he would. That was the great act of God's love, you know, to save people from the full-blown consequences of sin, hell. Because there's nothing worse than that. There's nothing more final than that. There's no escape from that once you've got there. But there is an escape from it now. Now in this world, while you've got the breath of life in you, there is. You can turn to Jesus and you can be forgiven. Even this very day, no matter what you've done. Because of the love of God and Jesus that's been portrayed, presented to you, offered to you this afternoon. Oh, the great, great love of God, I tell you. Let's talk about life for a minute. Life, what's life? Jesus says it's more, much more than, you know, the abundance of things, material things. We live in a very material-minded age and generation, do we not? Did you see the man in the newspaper yesterday? I tell you, he is the most freest man, I think, that I've ever seen, albeit just in a newspaper. He lives somewhere in Czechoslovakia. He's got absolutely nothing, not a thing does he own. And I tell you, that's freedom. Because if you haven't got nothing, you've got nothing to lose. You see, people, all this stuff that we've got puts us in bondage. You get a bigger house, you fill it with more things, more technology, and well, you need to get a burglar alarm, and then you need to get a dog. The more you get, the more security you need, because the more people want it from you. That's not freedom. That's not life. That's just existence. Life is in knowing Jesus. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, people, life is in knowing Jesus. You don't know Jesus, all you got's existence. Going round the never-ending circles, up in the morning, out to work, if you happen to have a job, home again, dinner time, Emmerdale Farm, Coronation Street, yawn, off to bed, same every day, round and round, never-ending circles. And then at the weekend, maybe at the weekend, you take yourself off to the pub and get stoned just to break the boredom of your existence. That's not life. That's not living. Living eternal life is what Jesus came to give, to impart to you. Knowing God and knowing Jesus whom he sent, that is eternal life. Knowing him, not knowing about him. You can tell me you know David Cameron, but I bet you don't. You know about him because you've read about him. You've seen him on the television. You've read about him in the newspaper, but you don't know him. You might have heard about Jesus. You might have read about Jesus, but you don't know him. Unless you've believed on him, trusted in him, unless he lives in your heart, unless you've been reborn by the Spirit of Jesus. Why, Jesus says you must be born again. That's life, people. Life abundant. Life in its fullness. In Jesus. Trusting, believing in him. Then, of course, well, we talk about freedom for a bit. What about freedom? You say you're a free person. You say you're a free man, a free woman. You're a free country. We can do as we please, can't you? I don't think so. We once did have a bit of a free country, not anymore. There's some things that you daren't speak. It might be in your mind, but if you speak it, you'll get locked up. There was a man in the paper yesterday was arrested for quoting in public Winston Churchill. Can you imagine? In the United Kingdom? Is that believable? Your freedom is very fast going away. Freedom? What's freedom, people? Jesus says it's knowing Him. If the Son, that's the Son of God, if He makes you free, you will be free indeed. But some of you would say, well, I'm free, I can do what I want. I can be a Christian if I want. If I choose not to, I don't need to be. People, you're not free at all until you know Jesus, until He's liberated you. Tell me, people, you who would advocate that you're free, tell me, why don't you walk away from some of the addictions that you suffer? Why is it you have to go to the chemist to buy patches? Why is it you have to go to the doctors to try and get relief from drugs, tranquilizers, whatever? Why don't you walk away from all your social problems, family problems maybe, all kinds of problems that human beings face? You know, if you're a free person, why don't you just walk away from them? You can't. You're not free. And you never will be until Jesus makes you free. But He can. He will. He's more than willing to make you free. If you were but willing, that is, to trust in Him, to believe in His name, to submit yourself to the King, whose throne is the cross, where He died in love for sinners like you and me, so that we could be set free. Let's talk about joy for a minute. Joy isn't quite the same as happiness. Happiness is having money in the bank. Happiness is getting your paycheck. Happiness is getting your benefits. Happiness is, a couple of pints of lager inside you. Happiness is getting your own way. But take all these things away and the happiness, it evaporates somewhere in the sky. It disappears. No longer happy, miserable. No money, no plastic cards, no technology. Happiness goes away, ta-ta. Joy is something that Jesus gives because your sins have been forgiven, and you know that you've got a home in heaven. You know that you're right with God, that He smiles upon you, loves you, accepts you in His Son Jesus. Joy, way down deep in the heart, a joy, says Jesus, I will give you that no one can take away from you. They might persecute you and hate you, and they might even kill you because you love Jesus, but they can't take away your joy from you. It's eternal, it's the gift of God, and it comes with God's salvation. It comes through being right with God. How does a person get right with God? Through faith in Jesus. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, believing, people. Not religion. Not your works. Not what you can do. You know, whether it be religious or otherwise. No, people. Faith and faith alone, just simply trusting. Not in anything that you can do, because there's nothing that you can do to make yourself right with God.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you. Jesus done it all, you see. When He died on the cross, one of the things He did was He cried out just at the very end. He cried out, He said, "It is finished." Done, you see, a done deal. He's done it. His work, not yours, not mine. Not saved because you're religious. There's a lot of religious people, but they ain't saved. They aren't right with God. They haven't got peace with God. Religion doesn't do that for you. You can become, well, there's one type of religion we all know about. You know, the Middle Eastern variety. I won't give you no peace. Might even turn you into a murderer, a terrorist. Eh? What did Islam's prophet do for them? Eh? He died, he's gone, he's away to Atas and he'll never be again. Eh? My prophet Jesus, he died on the cross for my sins and he rose again from the dead to give eternal life to me and to all who will believe on his name. So that's life, that's freedom, that's joy, that's love. That's why we call it good news, because it is good news, such tremendous news, people. If you only knew what you were missing. I tell you, the love of God. Hey, for 2,000 years, men like myself, preachers of the gospel, have been trying to explain, trying to give people an understanding of what the love of God is, but you just can't. We have a saying back home in Scotland, it's better felt than telt. But you're better to feel it rather than have it told you. Experience it. Taste and see that the Lord is good, that he is love, and that he is joy evermore. Taste and see. How do you taste? By faith, you take him. You take him, people, to be your own. You make him your own by faith. Came to his own, but his own received him not, but to as many as did receive him, to them he gave the power, the right, the authority to become children of God. You see, you hear them all. You hear them shout, you hear them remonstrating against me. I'm just telling them about how to get love and joy and peace and hope. All the things that the human heart craves for. And all they can do is rebuke me. All they can do is shout hostilities to me. I get it from the little box there every week. Huh? Every week. You try to do them good and all you get is hatred. But then that's what Jesus got. He loved them, and what did they do to him? They crucified him. And of course, ready to come the same way again. They'd just do the same all over again. They'd crucify him. But you see, he was crucified. But that was the will of God. That was the definite purpose of God. Why? Because with God there is plentiful redemption. It's the only way that a sinful world could be saved. By his son dying on the cross. That's the cost. Don't ever be thinking, just because I tell you it's faith and faith alone that saves a person, don't be thinking, people, that it's cheap. It's not cheap. It's costly, very costly. The precious blood of God's Son was spilled on that cross so that people like you and I could be forgiven. So Jesus, well, he's presented and offered to you once again, yours to take, yours to reject. But I do have to tell you, if you reject him, no eternal joy, no eternal love, no eternal peace, no eternal freedom, no eternal life, only the prospect of eternal, utter misery and darkness in hell forever. There's something to be saved from, you see. The consequences of your sin. Because if Jesus doesn't pay the price, you have to pay the price in full. But Jesus stood up to the plate, or rather up to the cross. He volunteered in love to die for sinners, to pay the price for them, to pick up the tab, so that you could walk away a free man, a free woman, and be a child of God forever and ever and ever. So like I say, the Bible, people, God's Word, God's Book, it's all precious. Here, Mark's Gospel, you can read about Jesus. Give you a summary of what the whole Bible's about, start to finish. It's offered to you, free of charge, no cost, no obligation to you. All you got to do is just take it out of my hand, and it's yours. Do with what you will, but read it. I'll pray for you, and who knows, maybe God will shine the light into your heart and mind and reveal Himself to you. Oh my dear, how you doing? So like I say, people, it's offered to you. You'd like one, you come and ask for one. God bless you. Have a good day. Ugh.